Hey, Mr. One Stop, I'm looking for a record and it goes like this. Dun 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 dun.
Welcome to Addicted to the Needle,
the podcast where a vinyl addict meets his dealer. I'm your record dealer, Ben Schulman.
And I'm Patrick Foisy, the addict.
And, hey, you know, it's funny. Your name's Patrick. You're wearing green. It is St. Patrick's Day.
You noticed.
Yeah, I did notice. It's funny. I was at the post office this morning and, like, I'm always there forever because I'm sending out, like, 40 packages. And then, like, we're at the last two packages, and obviously I'm, like, talking it up with the guy, my buddy Chris, who works at the post office, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you're wearing a green shirt. It's St. Patrick's Day. And he's like, really? You just noticed now? And I'm like, yeah, but at least I noticed. Like, I remembered. So shout out to the Irish and all our Irish fans or people of Irish descent. And, you know, we got a lot of Irish culture and history here in Montreal. So, I mean, man, we've been having a St. Patrick's Day parade in Montreal for... Do they still do
it? I think it's probably the longest running
in North America,
and second in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
Second to Dublin.
Yeah, so we got some Irish spirit here in Montreal. So,
and you know the saying, right? Kiss me, my name is Patrick. That's the saying, right?
I'm not going to kiss you, but yeah.
No, it's kiss me, I'm Irish. Sorry.
Dad joke.
Yep.
Sure. All right. Sure. Anyhow, so we're gathered here on this beautiful St. Patrick's Day. It's like 18 degrees Celsius, which is weird because it's supposed to still be like winter around here. But beautiful sunny day here in Montreal. But you don't look super sunny yourself, man. What is going on with you?
Well, thank God this podcast is my saving grace because... because if it wasn't for the podcast, I'd probably be halfway through a Irish whiskey bottle. Because, oh man, things are dire and tough. And my battery, you know, I was joking around with my principal last week till a few hours ago. She noticed too that I was a bit down. And I whipped up my phone and I showed her my phone and I go, you know, when you look in the corner, you see the percentage of your battery.
Yeah.
You know, and I showed her, oh, so I have 58% left on my phone.
Yeah.
And I go, if you look right behind my left ear, you know what it says? 1%. Because that's exactly how I feel. I feel drained. Man, it's... You know,
man, kids these days, right? I don't know. You know what? I always commend you for being a elementary school teacher because I could never imagine. Like, God, that's got to take like balls to deal with kids, man. Like you've been doing for what 25 years now. Like,
you know, it's not the kids, it's the parents. Oh, jeez. Yeah. And
is it like the customer's always right kind of situation?
You know, at the beginning of the school year, I show them a caricature, a sort of meme,
okay,
from years ago, and it's, you know, two squares, one on the left it says like 1971, and you see there's a teacher sitting at a desk, parents and a kid, and the parents are holding the report card and they're looking at the, and it says F on the report card, they're looking at a kid and they're going, what the hell is this? And then you see 2015, and it's exactly the same thing, but they're looking at the teacher and they're going, what the hell is this? And you see the kid with his arms crossed with a grin on his face.
Yeah,
that in a nutshell is what the new generation of kids I'm teaching and the parents,
I guess, it's like it's the everybody gets a trophy generation kind of thing.
So get this, it was going well till right after Christmas, where the kids at my school got their second shot, second COVID shot.
Okay.
And I did a little science lesson, talked about what is a vaccine, what is a variant, why it's important to be vaccinated, what's a mutation,
right.
why you know the virus is mutating. I was basically giving scientific facts.
I wish I had a teacher that cared this much in elementary school. I think I spent most of fifth grade drawing a bird flying around Canada for a Scholastic book. So, you know, I wish I had teachers who cared more about our...
So
hold on. I have a feeling I can sense guess, where this is...
Yes.
Let me guess. You got some, like, anti-vaxxer parents
yes,
who...
of course I did.
Of course. I mean, course I'll be like, look, we all knew, everyone listening knew where this was leading, right?
And, you know, and it was a kid that I love and the parents that I appreciate immensely. And there was a break in the relationship at that precise moment.
Because you were... teaching your class
she
about
felt
vaccine.
She felt everybody knew she wasn't vaccinated. Her mother got COVID, she got COVID, and she felt ostracized or I didn't mention anybody. I didn't.
Yeah.
So anyway, and of course,
and I think it's important to discuss, like, with your fifth graders, like, you know, kind of what's going on in the world right now. You know, it's like,
well, okay,
oh,
so,
but.
So we're not done. So, of course, for that, I got summoned in the principal's office. And I told the principal, I go, if I had to do it over,
yeah,
I would do exactly the same thing. I wouldn't change anything. I would choose the same words.
Right.
So I had to apologize to the kid because she felt bad and a whole thing. And there was a shift in power, I believe. That's my theory.
Yeah.
My theory at that moment. So at school, our hallway is full of lockers, right?
Yeah.
Every set of lockers in front of every class, before I even taught at that school.
Yeah.
They painted the lockers, and every class is a different scene from a different country. So the next door to me, you see France, when you see the Eiffel Tower and you see baguettes, and you see French people. And
it's just stereotypical. You see exactly. Baguettes and French people and mimes.
And
Brigitte Bardot and Pascal.
And the next one is actually the UK. And you see Big Ben, and you see, like, a sun, and it says the Beatles in it.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty cool.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
So I'll let you guess what country is represented on the lockers of my classroom.
If I had to guess, I mean, yeah. There's a lot of, I don't know, Canada?
No, Russia.
Oh, God. God, you've just been dealt a shit hand.
So I was looking at my lockers this week. I started the week, and I go... Wait a second! I have Russia on my
lockers. Like, you can't really have anything against the Russian people, you know. It's
See, you're reading my mind.
Yeah,
so I went.
It's like it's still a country with an incredible history, you know. It's like,
of course. So, I grabbed my colleague from across the hall and I went, "Come here, look, I have Russia. I feel like I should do something." And she goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to.
You can't not offend anyone in these days.
The
man.
Last thing I want to do, the last.
Like a big Ukrainian flag.
I want to do is for the principal to receive a phone call and I'm summoned to the principal's office and I have to explain myself.
Because there's a mural of Russia already there. And for some reason,
so,
that would, okay.
So
anyway.
I asked, you know, do you have any ideas what I should do? And she went, maybe put, like, peace messages. And one suggestion from one colleague was actually pretty good. She went, you should write quotes of Russian people that are against the war.
Yeah, that's
and
nice.
I went, oh, that's a great idea. And then I went to see the arts teacher that teach art. To my students,
yeah,
Dominique, and I went, do you want to do something artistic with this? This is my dilemma.
Sure.
And she goes, well, I have projects going on already with your students, but let me think about it. I'll come back to you.
Okay.
So the next day she comes to me and she goes, have you thought of doing Have you ever done origami? You know,
yeah.
Japanese.
Sure, the little swans paper. And yeah. stuff. I thought she was going to come to you and say, look, we're going to arm the kids and send them to Ukraine. Let's go. Let's just get right in there.
So I go, oh, yeah, I'm so bad at that. But, yeah, that's a good idea. She goes, I have a very simple one to do a bird.
Yeah, that's and, like I think that's the easiest one is the
and
swan
on the
bird.
Top of my lockers there's they painted you know big white clouds.
Okay,
so I go, that'd be cool. We'd write like a peace message yeah. on the paper and fold it up in a little bird and we can. You know, decorate the lockers like that.
I'm just waiting for you to tell me like what someone had a problem with this.
So.
You're then, too peaceful. You're fired.
So obviously at my school, there's the vice principal and there's a principal.
Right.
So I see the vice principal. I go, this is, look in front of you. What do you see? Oh, Russian flags everywhere. And you see the Kremlin and you see like a Russian person with like, you know, those.
Yeah, that big hat.
Big hat. And
just like a picture of Vladimir Putin smiling, you know.
And then I go. This is what I want to do. I want to tell you in advance. And what I'm going to do is that I'm going to do a little history lesson.
Yeah.
And we have, I teach a course called Ethics and Religion.
Yeah.
I always, between you and me, I always skip the religion part, but I'm heavy.
Hey, when I was in fifth grade, or as a Canadian, I'll say grade five.
It was called morals.
It was called morale.
Yeah.
And so I went to a public school, an English public school. And they would separate the Protestant kids and the Catholic kids. Now, the funniest thing is that in my school, most of the kids were Jews. So they put us in the Protestant one. And thinking back on that now, it's like that shit would not fly now. But there was no Jewish program, like even in the public school.
But the non-religious course was called morals.
Yeah.
And now we call it ethics.
Because I remember the Catholic kids would go off, and I'm like, where are all the Italians going? It was all the kids with with all the vowel last names.
Well, that's
like,
that's the whole Quebec history. And
We could, you know, that'll be for our other podcast, L'Histoire de Québec, the silent revolution with Pat and Ben.
So anyway, now we don't have Catholic teachings anymore.
Not anymore. Not since
the
60s.
What we call ethics and religion. And so we teach history of religions and ethics.
The ethics part is, I think, more important.
The ethics part takes about 99% of what I teach in class, and I just skim through.
You just like do this whole thing on ethics, then right at the end, yeah, by the way, I'm friends with Marty and Ben. I know two Jews. We're cool. That's all you need to know about religion.
So since, earlier, before Christmas, I did a whole ethics, in my ethics course, a whole project on democracy. So they already knew what a dictatorship is, what autocrat is compared to democracy. And I mentioned Vladimir Putin already. And so I was just going to do like a history lesson and put them up to date with what's happening in the world right now. So the war between, you know, Russia and the Ukraine. And just keep it to the facts.
Yeah.
I know. I'm threatening.
You're not wheeling in the TV and turning on Fox News.
I'm not.
Tucker Carlson's not coming to have a chat with your kids.
Oh, God. No, don't get me started. Anyway, so I'm threading into, you know,
potentially treacherous waters because you're
very
dealing
careful.
You're dealing with children whose parents are insane. So.
So I talk to the vice principal. I go, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
I'm telling you in advance. Is it okay? Do I get your approval? Can I go ahead and do something with this? Do you agree? Yes. Patrick, it's perfect.
Do your due diligence, right?
I went to see the principal, had the same conversation with her.
Right.
And I told her, the last thing I want to do is for you to get a phone call. And I went, and guess what? I got a phone call.
Uh-oh.
Ben,
about what?
So apparently I scared the kids because I talked about murder and kids being murdered, and of course, it's all out of context.
Well, yeah.
The only thing I can think about it that I mentioned that could relate to that is that I talked about what a war crime is. And I told them that if you bomb either a church,
civilians, yeah,
a church, a temple, a hospital,
yeah,
or a school,
yeah,
that's considered like a war crime.
Well, I mean, wouldn't
and they had just bombed the maternity hospital,
yeah,
in Mariupol. I think that's the city in Ukraine. Yeah. And I go, this is a war. This is what we call a war crime because they're the most vulnerable people. They're you know, sick people in hospitals or mothers and children.
Yeah.
I didn't show pictures.
Well, of course
we didn't,
not.
I didn't show.
It's like, what are you supposed to do? Shield reality from children? Like, that's
then
like.
I don't know what to do anymore. I was. I don't know.
Some kid's parent called the principal because you were dressed like. Isn't that a teacher's job?
That's my whole point. That's like, the whole thing. We can't.
Like, they're people. Like, I mean, yeah, so, like, but, like, they're in grade five. It's not like they're kindergartners and you're like, you want to know what a war crime is, little Timmy? Like, no.
I have grade five and grade six.
And grade six. So, like, they're like kids who are, like, on the cusp of high school. Well, here in Quebec, high school, where everywhere else you'd go into middle school first, but still, it's like, you know, I don't know. I think back to when I was in grade five, grade six, you know, like,
We knew
about stuff. That's when America invaded Iraq. You know, come on. It was a.
And I thought that in Canada, we were shielded from, you know, the crazy stuff in the States where you can't teach evolution. And,
oh, yeah.
And now you're not supposed to say gay in Florida. Teachers can get fired.
Well, it's like I was saying just before the show, like that teacher in Alabama or Mississippi or whatever, who read the book called I Need a New Butt, which is a children's book, and he got fired.
I don't know what to do. Okay, so I was talking to a colleague, and I go, next thing that's going to happen, I'm going to need, in science class, need to teach that the Earth is round. But if you believe it, the world can be flat. This is where we are right now. I'm going out of my mind.
It's almost like it's gotten to a point where it's like, just like, which is horrific and beyond unfortunate, where it's just like, stick to the curriculum. Don't step outside the box. But it's like, it's almost censorship, you know, because all of a sudden it's just everyone's offended by everything, but I just don't get it. It's like discussing current events with children, I think, is beyond important. And I think, well, I'm thinking even when I was in school, when you were in school, you know, it's like, I don't, was it discussed? No, probably not. You think they were talking about freaking Watergate when you were in school? I mean, no, you're not that old. But you know,
but you know what cures all? You selling me a freaking record.
Well, you know what? I have
all my ales just magically disappeared.
I just realized, because I was excited to play this record just because it's so freaking good, but I just realized how fantastic this record, just for what we've just been talking about. This record goes right out to our boy Vladimir Putin. And let's quickly just tell our listeners that in the French-speaking world, his name is spelt like the food, poutine.
Yeah,
I don't understand why. Can you tell me why?
I have no idea.
It's idiotic.
It's idiotic. And listen to this. This is how prevalent cancer culture is.
Cancel culture. Yeah. I heard you say cancer culture. I was like, oh,
cancel culture.
I don't want to know about cancer culture.
So, for people who don't know,
yeah,
poutine. Our favorite food, Ben and I's
French fries, gravy, and cheese curds. It is a Quebec, it's the Quebec dish.
Institution.
Yeah.
One of the restaurants that claimed
La Roi du Giuseppe in Drummondville, which I've been to. It's amazing.
I don't know. Have you heard the story on the news?
Yeah, they
changed the name
to
Fries, gravy, and cheese.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Because
the name in French, part of my language, it's fucked. It's so stupid.
It reminded me the whole freedom fries thing with Iris.
Yes. Remember freedom fries? Well, this record is called...
So I need to calm down.
This record goes out to Vladimir Putin. It's called I'm Gonna Destroy That Boy.
Perfect.
Perfect, eh? So this is a female garage band, The What For. I'm Gonna Never Destroy That Boy on Columbia Records. I recently just upgraded, so you are getting the copy that has been filed away in the Columbia Records of my Canadian pressing collection. I think you're really going to dig this. And Vladimir, if you're listening to Addicted to the Needle...
Fuck off.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. This one goes out to Zelensky also. Go destroy that boy. Anyway, The What For, I'm Going to Destroy That Boy, 1966.
That finished quickly.
Well, just the part where they're talking about making the boy their lover, just forget that part. But the rest of it, you know, got my ammunition undercover, you know, it's like, you know, it's got that kind of like secret agent-y thing, that like really cool, you know, heavy reverb-y guitar. It's a cool record, eh?
That felt good.
Yeah, you needed that. It was aggressive a little bit.
That was, you know, as an addict, I need like some sort of dose of something.
Well,
and I want to make it clear, this wasn't planned.
No, it was not.
You had no idea. You knew I had a shitty week.
Yeah, but I didn't know what you were going to talk about.
You had no idea. And wow,
I am some kind of.
You're the king of the segue this week.
Goodbye. Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm glad we got you in better spirits. You know, it's sometimes, you know what? I'm one of those people where it's like, if I'm in a shit mood, sometimes you just put on the right record and like elevates your spirits completely, you know?
And I have to tell you, the thing that, you know, got me through this week was, I have the podcast with Ben.
Yeah.
I was looking for it, and it was, my saving grace.
No, I always find doing the show is very therapeutic. I'm always in a fucking great mood after recording. So.
We're sort of on a high because we're addicted.
We work off each other, you know, we Anyhow, we do good. I had a feeling you were really going to dig that, Amanda. That worked out very well. So, yeah. I'm going to destroy...
It's on my side of the table right now.
I also just love that title. I'm going to destroy that boy. It's like... It's cool because it's, you know, a lot of these girl group records, it's often la, 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 la. This is like aggressive female. Like, I'm going to destroy... Yeah. I love it. I love it. The what for.
And what's that? What's that Russian group that got arrested and went to prison?
The Pussy Riot.
The Pussy Riot.
Yeah.
So let's dedicate.
This is dedicated
to the Pussy Riot.
The Pussy Riot. All right. Anyhow, so let's all take a breath here. Let's forget about school and crazy parents and Vladimir Putin and poutines. And actually, I'll never forget about poutines. I haven't stopped thinking about it. So you just went on kind of like a big trip. Digging, DJing, meeting people. I mean, where do you even start?
After 2 years, it felt so good. So I was on my spring break, March break.
Right.
Contemplating crossing the border. Not yet. Still computing.
Because here in Canada, spring break is in winter. it's still technically
it's March
winter.
Break.
March break. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
Contemplating crossing the border, still too complicated. I think they're lifting the last, tests we need to pass before crossing the border.
I think by the summer
today
it'll just
or
be
tomorrow.
Like, totally normal because, like, Ben Shulman is eating at a Waffle House in 2022. Thank you very
we're
much.
Eating at a Waffle
we're eating
House.
At a, we're eating at a Waffle House. You know what? Because, like, that at the Allentown record shows, like, next weekend, let's try and go in the fall. We'll go to the fall one.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because like we...
No.
Why?
I want to go.
Oh, you do want to go?
Next weekend.
Oh, are you going to go? Okay, anyway.
We'll talk off air.
Okay. I already checked. I can't because Taryn's working that weekend, so like it's...
Okay, fuck that. I'm going by myself.
You're
going
to go?
I'm thinking about
I'm going to destroy that boy. He's going to get all the good records for himself. All right, anyway, we're getting off track.
Okay,
so you just did a whole thing.
I had time off, so I decided to go and visit my peeps in Ontario. So Toronto, London, Ontario. So I left
Hamilton
too.
Hamilton.
So I left on Wednesday, and my first stop was in Scarborough. Because I went to see Harry.
Because
I always mix him up.
Scarborough. Scarborough, also known as like Little Jamaica.
Right. It's, you know, it's a suburb of Toronto.
Yes, eastern suburb of Toronto.
So he's the one to go see for your ska, reggae, rocksteady, early roots reggae.
Biggest selection in the country for that kind of stuff, for sure.
For sure. Yeah. And of course,
he's the nicest guy, man.
Nicest guy.
Henry, for years, I'd see him at record shows, and he'd be like, oh, Henry, like, when are you going to sell me your copy of Dream Lover by Eddie Spencer? And he's just like, oh, one day. And one day, he finally showed up at the record show and sold it to me.
Wow.
No, you know what? It's like, I was just, like, joking with... I never thought he would actually sell it to me. He must have got another copy, but he's, like, the nicest.
Oh, yeah.
He has hooked me up so many times over the years, both of us, because you got that great Ann Sexton... Northern Soul thing, I guess, already 2 years ago already, So, yeah.
And he insisted this time, he goes, Pat, next time, call me in advance.
Yeah.
I'll get you some stuff.
Yeah.
But I still left with, you know,
let's pull it out.
That's
the thing with Henry. Every time I know I'm going to be in Toronto, I always call him up first. And he's always got a little something.
So I'm going to hand you the little stack I brought.
I love it, like, both labels I can see are both Prince Buster.
Exactly.
So you know you were at Henry's.
And we're going to play a record. I selected a record in this pile.
Cool. I want to hear one from Everywhere You Went.
Yeah,
we're going to go through the map.
And I've thought about it because we're going to discuss this record at length.
Cool.
So have a look. You can even look at my little...
Scott Dancer, Prince Buster, Rough and Tough, Prince Buster, Never Never, Prince Buster, Drunkard Psalm, Eddie G. Giles, Music,
That's some soul.
That's good, yeah, this is the guy who does Eddie's Go-Go Train or something, Louisiana, yeah, oh yeah, same label too, Mirko, that's cool, and this one says Double on it.
I had it already.
Oh, cool.
I didn't know.
So you got a bunch of Prince Buster records.
So we're going to play...
What are we going to hear?
Let's see.
Go, go, train. Eddie's
Kung Fu Training. It's not in that pile. Wait. You know what?
Is it that one sitting over there? Oh, I don't know.
No. Let me look.
Okay.
Well, you know what? While I look, you want to sell me another record?
Sure.
All right.
Ready?
Yep.
I'm not introducing anything. I'm just going to play a song and... okay, hang on. Sorry, it's just the spindle's a bit of a pain in the ass. All right, this record...
This
I played
is
it,
live, folks.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's beyond live. This record is in horrible condition, but played super well. Yeah, anyway, let's just listen to a song. Brief sidebar into some psyche music.
Man, that was good.
What did it remind you of?
So there's sort of a sample of a Rolling Stones.
Yep, definitely. Under my thumb.
I was like, what is it? And it's sort of the xylophone there. Part.
Yeah. So this is a track called Feelings by the Grassroots.
I have something from them.
So the Grassroots, they were a huge band in the late 60s. Their biggest hits being Live for Today, La 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 La, Let's Live for Today, Midnight Confessions, and Sooner or Later, Love's Gonna Get You. Like, very poppy, like, super popular band. And also, you ever watch The Office?
I'm not a fan. I've never hooked up on...
Well, for our listeners who do like The Office, Creed from The Office is the guitar player in this band.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
One of the guys on The Office was
That's
the guitar
cool
player
fact.
For the Grassroots.
That's
yeah.
a fun fact.
So this is one of the records that did not do particularly well.
I
but
don't
it's
get it.
Freaking cool. But you know what? Because their sound was so poppy, and this was kind of, I guess, too...
So I'll dig the sitar. It's sitar on it?
No. Not that I heard. I don't know. It's just
yeah.
Was that a sitar at the end?
Yeah. That. I think it's not a guitar break. It sounds like.
Anyway, it's psychedelic. It's cool. Did you find what you were looking for? I'm guessing you're going to take that one, right?
Yeah. Well, did you
get it? I'm handing it to you, and it's already on your side of the table. So yeah. But that was a good. That was good waiting around music while you were trying to find what you were going to play that you found.
I still
had
my headphones on, and I just turned around, and yeah.
So you found it.
I did.
So what'd you find?
So it's a record from Henry's.
Henry's, not Harry.
I have to think twice about it.
And it's also on Prince Buster.
And it's a Prince Buster track.
Let me guess, it's a cover of something.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. It's typical Prince Buster.
This is the side I'm playing?
That's the side. You can read the title.
So this is Big Five by Prince Buster and the All-Stars.
It's a relatively known track.
Okay.
I'm not going to talk about it, but I want you to pay attention to, well, it's hard to miss. Just pay attention to the lyrics, and we're going to discuss after.
Sounds good.
Over and get me a brush up. Going to rub the pussy here tonight. Heavy rain falling, I can feel my cock getting stiff in hand. Gonna be a wet, wet night in Big Five. Screaming, screaming night in Big Five. It will be pussy versus cocky tonight. Gonna be pussy versus cocky tonight. Right now I'm feeling sexy. Want the big fat pussy to spend the night. Today I smoke a ounce of weed. Tonight I'm going to plant a seed in her womb, alright. Spunky, spunky night in Big Five. Spunky, spunky night in Big Five. Oh, girl, be squeaking all over the bed. There'll be water all over her head. How many times I've wanted to lay my dick inside her, and to think that now she has to beg me to do it for her. I'm gonna juke her with vengeance tonight. Oh yeah. I'm going to plant a seed in her womb, all right. Gonna be a spunky night in Big Five. Spunky, spunky night in Big Five. Lord, gonna be pussy versus cocky tonight.
No innuendos there, eh?
It's pretty straightforward.
You know what? I, like, at the beginning, I was like, oh, maybe he's kind of just like, you know, it's, he's talking about like animals on a farm or something and just being really, no, he was really.
It's pretty straightforward.
What's Big Five?
5 inches? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. So here's my, so we're going to have a little debate here.
All right.
So here's my question. It's pretty straightforward. I just like the song. Just like the lyrics.
Very to the point.
Would you DJ this?
No.
No?
Well, no, just because like I don't really ever play.
No, but let's say let's say you're at a reggae night.
At the end. Like at the end of the night, if it's like 3 a.m. and the lights are coming on.
Would you hesitate? Would you think, in these times, you know, we're talking about cancel culture. So the whole thing, you know, I was canceled this week because I talked about Russia in my classroom.
I feel like I feel like I'm canceled every day. Yeah.
Wow, you see where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I guess when you think about it like that, yeah, I would really only like 3 a.m. lights are coming on. Drunk people are leaving to go get their $2 chow mein on St. Lawrence Street. Yeah, no, I wouldn't really.
Would you be worried that you'd offend people?
No, I wouldn't give a fuck.
You wouldn't give a fuck?
No, I wouldn't care. But I mean, it's a cool tune. I mean, it's just nice. Like it's a nice reggae thing. But it's just like. Yeah, played at the end for fun.
See, I'm
it's because it's just like a gimmicky thing. It's just like,
oh, it's almost an you can almost put it in the novelty category.
X-rated, yeah.
But there was sort of a style in the reggae scene. It was mainly innuendos.
Yeah,
but. I remember back in
There's been innuendos in R&B and black music forever.
Of course.
Like a one-eyed cat peeping in a fish food store. Thank you, Mr. Joe Turner, for that one. You know, like.
But I have a blues, sort of a blues song called, and it's a female singer, and it's called Big Dick. And I've DJed this at 3 a.m. At the Mug Club, the Bal de Courcelle days, and nobody bat an eye until like I my friends hanging around.
We also do
listen to this.
We also do live in a world where Wet Ass Pussy was the biggest song on the planet, you know, a year ago. So
that's why I'm opening the. The debate and
if someone's offended by this, I kind of always said this thing is that if you are offended, you should be offended. Like I don't know, it's like you choose to be offended. It's just like get a sense of humor. It's a joke.
That,
it's a record.
That's sort of my point. And funny thing. So I'm skipping ahead. I DJ'd on the Thursday. Night.
So Wednesday were in Scarborough, you went to Henry's, and then
I drove to London. London, Ontario.
How was that Toronto traffic?
Well,
not that bad.
I had my phone and the GPS, and they sent me on the
407. I love the 407.
Yeah, but it's gonna cost me, right?
Yeah.
Like $20 or something.
Probably more.
Oh, jeez.
It's very expensive, but fuck, does it save you time?
So, yeah, I did save time, but I didn't. It wasn't that bad, and it's going to end up costing me like $40.
Probably. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Anyway, so I'm skipping ahead to the Thursday night where I DJ'd in Hamilton, and the host is Jason.
DJ, the 45 selector, DJ Jason. I don't even know what name he goes by. Jason Gerard.
Right.
Well, that's his last name. Shout, what's up, Jason, if you're listening?
Oh, well, yeah, I'm going to talk about the night in depth later on. But sure. I announced that I was going to be in town, and I asked him, do you have any records for sale? He goes, oh, you can check my Discogs. So if you want to check his Discogs. Yeah. It's The Collector.
That's right.
Yeah. T-H-E-E. So double E. So check him. Check his Discogs. He has great records.
Sure.
And he goes, I have a little pile here that I haven't put on Discogs yet, and you get first dibs. I go, great.
Nice, yeah.
And I had just gotten Big Five at Harry's.
Henry's. Jesus. Oh, God.
I'll never learn. And
maybe if you try to remember his name in French, it will help. Henri.
Maybe. So,
St. Henry, you freaking live in a town that is the same name that he has. You live in St. Henry. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. George is getting upset.
Well, now I'm never going to forget, because now you made.
I've yelled enough.
All right, you made the perfect connection. Anyway, so. Yeah. He had a copy himself for sale. And it's funny. I just bought a record at Henry's. And I opened a discussion with him. And I asked him, listen, would you DJ this? And we sort of had a back and forth. And I go, listen, I'm going to hassle you with a quote, because I want to talk about it on the podcast. And he sent me a quote. So I'm gonna read you what he wrote to me.
The recital of the quote.
Of the quote, and I think he makes perfect sense. So let me know what you think.
Okay.
So I think that those songs were very of their time. There was a whole market of the sexier tracks in the early 70s. Look at the popularity of the Bang Bang Lulu comp on Pama. Through the years, I've known a few DJs who play tracks like Big Five as a bit of fun. The crowd always seems to get a kick out of the explicit lyrics. However, I've always just seen them as more of a novelty. To take them seriously, I suppose you'd have to have been there when they were being released. These days, I struggle to get singles like this into my playbox. Even Rough Rider or Barbed Wire is a challenge for me. The court of public opinion always changes, and I think tracks like Big Five may need to be retired much, like his Ten Commandments of Man. I wouldn't want anyone to feel uncomfortable at any of my gigs. So I think that's a very nuanced way to see it.
And he does make a good point. It's like in the early 70s, where it's like, I always think about with like the Staple Singers, how it's like they were a gospel group, and then by 1974 they had a record called After Sex, you know, right. That was a huge hit. So it's like, you know, the kind of like liberation movement of the late 60s definitely poured into the early 70s to a point where, yeah, music did become more explicit. But it's like, you know, when Prince Buster put this thing out, it's like, it's novelty. It's just, it's camp, you know, as some people would say. It's just like, it's kooky. You know?
I'm torn.
I don't know. It's you just know,
like, after what happened at school this week.
You mean discussing current events?
Discussing current events. And
God forbid.
I'm sort of, I feel like a rebel and go, fuck it. You know, let's cancel culture, give me a break. But then again, I'm torn, because on the other side, I don't want to offend anybody.
Well, some things deserve to be canceled, but like, but
where's the limit? And where are we? Stop having fun and laughing, and this is supposed to be funny and
you can't joke.
Humorous.
But that's the thing. It's like, you just can't joke about things anymore, I find, where it's like,
that's the sad part.
Oh, no. And the thing is, because like, I have said some obscene shit over the years. And like, there's some things I think I'm like, yeah, maybe if I said that, you know, like, but still, you know, it's like, but certain people I'm around sometimes, you know, I won't name names, but it's like, I will say something, and it's like, I look at their faces, and it's just like, maybe you should stop taking things so seriously. It's like, you know what? It's just like, you have to see humor in things, you know?
I think you have to take like, yourself so seriously.
Oh, sometimes. Yeah. And it's like, and like, I don't take myself seriously. I don't think either of us really do. I think you and I are pretty like laid back, you know, pretty freaking cool people, you know? Yeah. And it's like, I don't hate anyone. I don't really hold any prejudice. You know, it's just like, you know, the odd time, like someone will make like a kind of like a Jew joke. I mean, it's like, that's what you call you gotta laugh, you know. It's just like whatever, like it's a stereotype, it's a joke. It's, you know, there's a difference between like, you know, deliberately hating someone for something than just like, yeah, you know what, it's like that's part of life, is becoming comfortable enough around other people that you can kind of enjoy, you know.
Yeah.
Joking around. I don't know. It's like, fuck, like everybody's, it seems just like everybody's got to stick up their ass, you know.
So I don't know if I would DJ this.
I'd play it at the end of the night, whatever. And if someone came, if I was DJing that at the end of the night, and like me personally, probably wouldn't play it. That's just my thing. It's just like, I don't know. It's just like, it's whatever. Not really my thing. If someone came up to me and had a problem with it, first of all, I'd be like, are you fucking serious? And second of all, go listen to everything on the radio. Right. And this bugs, I don't think anybody would get, I don't think anybody would care or say anything.
Okay.
It's just about sex. It's not like he's like singing, you know, singing about rape. Right. You know, he's talking about consensual sex. I mean, like the fact that we even have to have this conversation is ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, well, that's where we are. God forbid. But, why don't we call up Vladimir Putin and see what he thinks?
Jason made a really good point,
yeah,
where you don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable at your gig. So that,
I definitely wouldn't play it if I was doing, you know, DJing outside on St. Lawrence Street like we've done over the years with children walking around.
Of course,
no, of course you're not going to play it there. But yeah, in the right time or place, whatever. You're DJing at night, everyone's had a few drinks and it's 3 o'clock in the morning and the bar is emptying out. Yeah, whatever. Just put it on. I don't know.
Well, you know what? We're going to leave it to our listeners. So I'm going to post probably, you know, a clip of this of this record on our Facebook page.
Right.
And, you know, tell us we're wrong. Tell us we're right. Tell us you're as confused as I am. Let us know what you think.
Let us know.
All right. So
moving on.
So I slept in London. Oh, you saw the picture of the Motel 6 I stayed at.
I think I've stayed there myself.
So, yeah, I posted, you can go and see on my Instagram, I posted a photo of the sign of the Motel 6, which has a reputation of being like the cheap motel.
Yeah, in
Canada, Super 8,
in Canada, Motel they're 6. Pretty clean. I once stayed at a Motel 6 in Memphis, and by stay, I mean I walked in the room and then just walked out immediately. That was it.
Well, when I remember staying at Motel 6's, it was my go-to motel in Arizona when I was doing a road trip, and I love the fact that you drive down the highway and on the sign the price of the hotel room would be lit up.
Yep,
and I go, $39 a night. All right.
Yeah, that's a couple years. That's a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's a while.
Jeez.
But
still cheap.
So, you know, I posted a picture of the sign, which is like disheveled and almost in pieces.
Beautiful,
but
London,
my whole point was, do I want to put money into records or into a nice hotel room? Mm-hmm. And there's your answer.
Yeah.
So the next day, I went to, I went to City Lights Bookshop in downtown London.
That must have been disappointing.
They had records. So I was told, I have to, you know, I have to give a shout out to Graham, who sent me a bunch of links of places to go and check.
Okay.
That was on the list. So thanks, Graham. You're a great guy. He said, there's records there. There's 45s. It's worth checking out. And I went, but left with a book.
Yeah.
And of course there was a sort of erotica section with, you know, like 60s and 70s pop erotica ish,
like the paperback books?
The paperback,
yeah,
books,
sure,
and
yeah.
I grabbed one.
Let's go back to the 50s too. Yeah.
So I grabbed one of those, and it's great. I have a collection. It's a good laugh, and sometimes I have people over, and I read a chapter, and we're,
God,
it's really funny.
I'm glad you don't invite me to those nights.
Woo! All right.
It's almost like the book version of the ads we play on this show.
Pretty much.
Exactly. It's
pretty
the same.
Much.
Again, it's camp.
Yeah. Right.
It's camp.
I mean, it's pretty mild, but it's all in good fun.
Again, it's of its time.
Exactly. So then I went to a place you know, Speed City Records.
Ah, I love that place. You must have found something there.
And I found, I'll show you. We don't need to play
Mike's a good dude. I really like the guy at Speed City. That's one of my favorite places.
It was great.
Yeah,
it's like in a house.
Yeah, with the pizza place next door. It's kind of in like, it's almost in the suburbs. It's kind of like not where you'd expect a record store to be.
So here, I 4:45s from there.
What'd you get? Say Boss Man, David Clayton Thomas. Early Arthur Conley on the Jotis label. That's Otis Redding's record label.
And I got a good deal on that because the B-side is off center, so he made me a good deal on that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Co-written by Otis Redding, too. The Impressions, I Love You, Yeah. Keep on pushing the A-side.
I don't have the Canadian pressing, though.
We'll find you one. And this, you didn't have this?
I didn't have this.
You didn't have, come on, 100 Days, 100 Nights by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
I didn't.
Best soul record of 2007. I love that song. That was the first song I ever heard by them. Was 100 Days.
Oh, really?
That's what, like, I heard it.
Well,
it,
I'm the one it. Who introduced you to Sharon Jones.
Oh, no, I knew that. I knew that
No,
before.
I think.
You're the one who got me more into them. And, like,
I dragged you to a concert.
They didn't drag me. I was very excited to go. In fact, I went out for dinner with three of the band members before. But sure, you dragged me. No, I knew 100 Days, 100 Nights. I knew it when it came out, like in 2007. I don't remember how I knew about it. Because that was like right around when...
Because I knew YouTube. The band before, and I'm sure I talked to you about them before.
Yeah, oh, for sure. No, like, because I remember like when we first became buddies, which was not that long after that record had been out. That's when I got way more into it, for sure. But, that's probably their best known song, 100 Days, 100 Nights.
And the video. Oh, the video's so good. But there's something just beyond what he's told. Hell yeah, 100 days, 100 nights, no one man heart. 100 days, 100 nights, no one man heart. And a little more before he knows his own. Wait a minute. Maybe I need to slow it down just a little. Take my time.
I remember, again, it was one of those things when I first heard it, I thought it was a record from the 60s, but I was 13, I was 14 when that came out, you know, I was like a kid, I was just like, oh, this is a great soul song, and the music video is like black and white.
Yep, it looks like it was made
100%, it was definitely filmed on like 16 millimeter film or whatever.
Absolutely.
And talk about sampling, it's very much influenced by I'm a Good Woman by Barbara Lynn. If you listen to I'm a Good Woman by Barbara Lynn, then you listen to that. It's abundantly clear what Bosco Man was listening to when he wrote that song. But I love Sharon Jones. I miss Sharon Jones. I can't believe that we're never going to get to go see. That was something you kind of look forward to like every year. It's like, oh, you're going to get to Sharon Jones come to Montreal. And it's like already been 6 years since she passed away. Just awful. She was the best. I love those. Those are some of the best concerts ever.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, hey, I'm glad I have that at 45
now. So those were your picks in... London, Ontario. Not to be confused with London, England.
Yeah,
both very classy places.
Because you know the story, right? I was supposed to go to London, England.
Well, you were supposed to go
on a trip.
You were supposed to go to a lot of places in the past 2 years.
No, that we're talking about. 5-6 years ago.
Oh,
we the wife and I had planned to go to London, England.
Yeah,
and she had points, you know, the freaking flyer miles.
Yeah,
and so she typed it in into her account, booked some, I have enough points to go to London, and we booked the flight. And I think a week before, I asked my dad, can you, drive us to the airport?
Yeah.
He goes, when are you leaving? I go, well, we're leaving in the evening. And he goes, flights to London, they're usually in the morning. Or the opposite, I can't remember.
They're usually at night. No, they're in the morning. No, they don't go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, 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 right.
So,
thinking when I flew there a couple years ago.
He goes, are you sure you're flying to London at night? And I go, well, yeah. And I tell Nikki, I go, can you check our reservation? Are you sure about the time? And she looks, and she had booked tickets to London, Ontario.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, so the thing is with that, I never really understood why it's not called New London.
Yeah, right.
Because it's not called York City. You know, it's not called, well, it actually is called Jersey City. It's in New Jersey. But, you know,
it's not called Brunswick.
Yeah, it's New Brunswick. Brunswick. It's like New Haven, New Hampshire. Why the hell didn't they call it New London? And what's also stupid with London, Ontario, is that the river that flows through it is also called the Thames. Like, it's just like, name it the New Thames. Name it New London. Or just give it a completely freaking different name. It's so freaking confusing.
Anyhow, well, so, yeah.
You had a great time in London, Ontario. That's a great story.
So we canceled those tickets.
No, I meant you had a great time.
And we paid for the tickets to London a week before at full price.
Yeah, there you go.
Cost us, anyway, so.
Yeah, you live and you learn.
Exactly. So then I went to Hamilton next day. So we're on
Hammertown.
So we're on Thursday. And so I went to check out Stardust Records.
Never been there.
Oh, you need to go see my nice lady, Sharon.
Okay.
The owner. So I'm going to grab my pile that I got there because I got a decent pile. So let me turn around.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't know how I've never, I've been to Hamilton a number of times. I don't know how I've never managed to go there.
So here you go.
So this is from Stardust Records?
Yeah, in Hamilton, Ontario.
All right. Devil with the Blue Dress On and Wind It Up by Shorty Long. This is the first record on the Soul label, 35001, subsidiary of Motown, launched in 1964. specifically because Berry Gordy had just acquired the Harvey and Tri-Fi labels, so he brought on the Spinners, Junior Walker and the All-Stars, and Shorty Long. So that's why he started the Soul label. There you go, a little history on
and
that.
And folks, he didn't read this off of a piece of paper.
Either. I freaking love this song, Lonely You'll Be by Calvin Williams. Man, you found this at a record store?
I did.
Shit.
Nice.
That's a great record.
It is.
That is also a Detroit record, even though it's on Atco.
Well, isn't that what I wrote on the little
Northern
label?
Soul Dance on the B-side, Lonely You'll Be. Produced by Joe Hunter, who was the original tambourine player for the Motown studio group, the Funk Brothers.
Hmm.
So this is a Detroit thing that got picked up by
We could play that one, because we could play one from
this
that.
Record, this was at a record store, these records?
Yes, sir.
Were they cheap?
Okay. Relatively.
Huh.
Yeah. And all in the $20, $25 range.
Shit. I didn't know that there was a record store like this that had stuff. Oh, cool. Did they have a lot of 45s?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, you should go.
Amazing.
Yes.
Oh, cool. School Time by Billy Boy. That's on the Bluesville label. That's Billy Boy Arnold, who I've seen live in concert at the Ponderosa Stomp. Fun story. J.P. Lenoir, Backdoor. Must be good bluesy stuff.
Yep. Very early R&B stuff.
Okay, that's still crazy that you found this, though.
This is unknown. Because I know you got the... I have
the other one. It's called Swingin' in Canada.
Right.
I have this one also.
Oh, you do? Because it wasn't on Discogs. I think I input it on Discogs. So talk about the record.
So Carl LaRue and his crew Yeah, they were from Buffalo, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, you got it written right there. Yeah, they were a group from Buffalo, and I found both of their records at the same time, and their other 45 is called Swinging in Canada, which is like...
It's on your YouTube channel.
It's on my YouTube channel. Did I not play it? I must have played it. I think I played it on the show.
I don't think so.
Oh, no, never. That's a crazy cool find.
So, but read the title.
Oh, Monkey Hips and Oyster Stew? Yeah, it's a good food record.
Yep.
Arthur Gunter, Don't Leave Me Now. That's like a good R&B rocker, right?
Yep.
Oh, cool. I have that one. Oh, Salt Pork, West Virginia. Isn't this Dr. Horse or something?
Yeah. Yeah. And the other side is good, too. I think that's a double cider. So what's on the other side?
Jack, That Cat Was Clean or something?
Yeah, I think that's the A side.
Yeah. And last but not least...
Totally different.
Giles Strange. Oh, yeah, that's a garage record. Giles Strange, whose real name is actually listed as the songwriter's name. His real name is Jerry Goldstein. So he was one third of the group The Strange Loves, who we are familiar with, Nighttime and I Want Candy, yep, and Carolyn. The Strange Loves, who pretended they were three producer songwriter guys from Brooklyn, whose biggest hit to date by this point in 63 was My Boyfriend's Back by the Angels. So then they decided to call themselves Niles, Miles, and Giles and pretend to be Australian to cash in
this before
to cash in on the British invasion thing. They were signed to Bang Records, Burt Burns' label, but their real names were Jerry Goldstein, Bob Feldman, and Richard Gadaher. They were just three Jewish guys.
Hey, insert a Jew joke.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. Feldman, Goldstein, and Gadaher sounds more like a law practice than rock and roll guys. But yeah, so I've never actually had this record, but I don't even know if I've ever even heard it. But yeah, Giles Strange was one of the Strange Loves, whose name is actually Jerry Goldstein.
You know what? You get to pick the record. Do you want to play that one?
I do want to play that. Perfect. So they like I had no idea that this store had
nice
stuff.
Haul, right?
Yeah. Well, just, I mean, you don't, these are just never things you expect to find in a record shop, you know? But, wow, no, next time I'm down there, because I figure, you know, Jason lives there. You go there all the time, buy all this stuff.
That's exactly what I told him. He goes, yeah. I haven't been in a while. Maybe I should go back.
Yeah, that's just it. Wow, no, I'm very impressed. So I guess this is the side. You're going up to the bottom.
I think that's the side.
Yeah. All right. So Giles Strange, aka Jerry Goldstein. I know him from Shul. All right. Anyway, let's.
Hey, where are you going, baby? Tell me where'd you get those fancy clothes. Looking up, looking down, what I say. Can't you see? You're going up.
Looking out, what I say, hey,
ah! And I dig that a lot.
Not bad, eh?
Very strange, Lovesy. You know, it sounds like what you'd expect it to sound like. I also just... This is just one of my favorite labels ever, man.
Yeah,
what a
Boom.
Boom Records, man. What a beautiful label. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I've never heard it before. I knew he had done, you know... Giles had left Miles and Niles and did one of his own records, but... very cool, very garagey. Now I could imagine like them, you know, like Van Morrison right. and them kind of thing. You know that, that kind
of. We've played a lot of garage on this episode.
We did a good. Yeah, well, we heard the Grassroots. We did a little bit of ska. We did a little bit of. Have we even
some songs?
Oh yeah, it's
also?
True. Yeah, we had like yeah that What Four thing. Yeah, man, how have we not played like a Northern Soul record?
I don't know. We'll finish with one.
All right. So yeah, so great. So you had a great night spinning in. So that was a Thursday night you DJ'd in Hamilton?
No, so no, I you know stayed over at hotel two nights.
Okay, in
so Thursday night and Friday night. So Friday night I DJ'd. The aforementioned Jason at his night at the Casbah called Ram Jam. So it's a rare soul and reggae night.
Cool.
With two of his partners. They're from, they have a night in Toronto. Everybody should check out called Knockout. So Shane and Brian from Knockout and myself and Jason, and we're like, it was a different formula I hadn't done before, so we played six records each on rotation. So only six.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah.
So
especially for like kind of like a low. I can imagine it was kind of like a low key thing.
Right.
Was
yeah, you know,
but I saw some
few
pictures.
People,
looks like there's some people moving around, and I was like,
yeah, people dancing, and it was the bars were opening up for the first time in 2 years, so people were sort of excited to be there, and
sure,
great vibe. So you know, Jason. My hat's off to you. You're
Jason's a real mensch. Really like that guy, man.
Great, great night. And
big fan of you.
Ended up buying a record from him. Well, he actually gave it to me. So super nice fan.
Nice guy.
Oh, and I have a pin for you, Ben.
A pin?
Yeah. Here it is. So a Ram Jam pin.
Oh, cool.
So
I like it.
So get this.
Thanks, Jason. Or thanks, so, Pat. Thanks, Jason.
So a friend of ours of the show showed up, Patrick McMillan.
Oh, my God. I think I saw pictures. He came to hang out at...
He came out at Ram Jam. You can check him out on Instagram. His name is Fantastic_Patrick, Q-U-E.
With a Q-U-E at the end.
So check him out.
Because I think it used to be like Pat McMillan Pat, but that account got taken down because I think like... some copyright bullshit. So like I like his format. How he, when he posts records, he just plays all of them. Like he'll post like nine at a time. but yeah, check him out. Fantastic with a Q-U-E _ Patrick or Patrick Fantastic.
Fantastic Patrick.
If you really want to find Patrick, you'll find him. Don't worry.
So super nice guy
on St. Patrick's Day. Too many Patricks, man. All right.
So I had a great time with Patrick there, and I had with me my famous 45 weights.
You know, oh, yeah.
That I put on the 45s.
That's right. Especially works well for the warped ones or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, we've featured this product.
We have featured this product. We are...
on our show.
This podcast is brought to you by 45 Weights, I think. I don't know.
And I forgot one at the night.
Uh-oh.
So the next day I was leaving for Toronto, and I forgot one. So I wrote to Jason. I go, listen, if you go back to the bar and it's still there, just grab it and keep it till next time.
Because it's probably expensive to ship that.
Yeah, that's the thing, because it's heavy.
Heavy, man. Yeah.
So I had one left at least, you know. And you don't, you usually don't use them on.
You don't need on, it. You don't really need it tables. All the time. Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny because when I talked to about it to Jason, he thought I was like when I used it that night. I thought I was doing a cover up.
Prick.
And I go, it's exact. I'm the exact opposite. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't worry.
Oh yeah.
That's not me. So, you know, you didn't know about those weights. And get this. Patrick went back the next day, got into the bar, got my weight back, and brought it to Toronto.
Wow.
How nice of a guy is that?
Seriously, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, was he coming out to the night anyway? Or
Yeah, I think he had planned out. Yeah, I think cool. he even got like babysitters and
awesome.
His wife.
It's a
came
nice up. Little detour from I know where he's coming from to get to. Yeah, wow, that's really cool.
But
what a nice guy.
What a nice guy.
We should send him something.
We should.
Yeah.
We don't have pins. We shouldn't make pins.
Pat, go look on my Discogs or something. Pick a record. We'll hook you. Whatever. We'll hook you up with something.
Yeah. 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 Super nice, Patrick.
And he's a wonderful guy. He's an awesome
And he's going to DJ a night soon. So
here in Montreal?
No, in Toronto. So good luck.
Oh,
to
cool.
Him.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
So finally, last night was the big night in Toronto.
The infamous With It.
Infamous With It. With DJ Nico, also part of the Toronto Soul Club. If you look at the slip mat,
yeah, it's great. That's a great
on the turntable right now. It's a great slip mat.
I love it.
The Toronto Soul Club logo.
Is that like an Elaine Banks design or?
No, I think Teresina, aka DJ Nico. I think that's her design. I think she's
beautiful.
She's pretty good.
Nice.
So. After 2 years, full capacity.
I noticed like no one was wearing masks. Whatever.
I think we were at a point where, you know, it's like.
Taryn went to a concert like last week, and like she said, like no one was wearing masks.
No,
like,
I don't think everybody felt like enforcing the mask either. And
yeah,
it was just
it's on the way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Good night.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, met up with my my mod friends in town and
nice
Ian.
To have a dance
and
floor
Ian
going
and David on. And Ali was there. And, you know, everybody came out. It was great. So I decided to debut a record there. And last show, I featured a new record. You know, brand
oh
new.
Yeah, that. Oh yeah, yes, the guy from South America or whatever.
Yeah,
oh,
the Finger, Kevin
Finger,
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 Kevin.
That was
Finger.
A really cool record. Yeah.
Right. So, I'm gonna hand out a 45. It's newish, so it's from the 90s. I think it's from 94, 95.
Huh.
And I decided I'm going to test this one out.
All right.
I've never played this. And as soon as I heard it, I went, oh, I clicked buy right away.
I really hope it's Stop Right Now by the Spice Girls.
Yeah,
to me,
sure.
To me, that should be a Northern Soul anthem. But anyway.
You know what? Don't look at the title. Just put it on and try not to look at it. And let's listen.
Okay, I'm not really.
So it's... This is from 1995.
Here, I'll take my glasses off. Now I really can't see. Okay, so, and you played this out at the night in Toronto?
And it went down great. Okay. It had a great response.
All right.
And let's listen to it.
Street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it before, but you've never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you. And all the roads that lead us there are winding. And all the lights that light the way are blinding.
There are many things that I would like to say to you, but I don't know how. And baby, are you gonna be the one that saves me? And after all, you're my wonderwall. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you. And all the roads that lead you there are winding, and all the lights that light the way are blinding. There are many things that I would like to say to you, but I don't know how. And baby, are you gonna be the one that saves me? And after all, you're my wonderwall.
So,
you're my wonderwall. Yeah, that's great.
You saw my face during the whole song.
Oh, I love that. The Mike Flowers pops. It's funny because I feel like I've heard this
song.
So
I'm going to show you. It's a picture sleeve. So yeah. Here, look at the. That's the singer.
So there's a music video for this.
There's a music video.
Okay, I've seen.
It's. Yeah. It's eye candy. We're going to put it up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, because I've definitely heard this version before. Oh my God, what a dork. that is so cool.
He looks like a cheesy lounge singer. And
well, because the reason I took off my headphones and asked you, because there's this guy whose name is, he does this with all kinds of songs. Like, he takes really well-known songs and does them like that. And his name is Richard Cheese.
Right.
Dick Cheese. as that's why I thought it was him, because my brother Andrew, for some reason, loves this guy. But that's like a really cool version.
I love it. I put it at the beginning of the night, of course, you know, because it's sort of a mid-tempo.
But that's the kind of thing. It's like, oh my God, people.
Everybody was singing along.
Of course, because it's like one of the most iconic songs ever. You know, it's like, Don't Look Back in Anger. Oasis rocks. Like, come on, I love Oasis.
So as soon as, you know, I went to check out this guy. I didn't know this guy existed. I bought two of his 45s immediately, and the other one is a cover of "Light My Fire" by The Doors.
Oh, I think I've heard that also. One of my like falling down like a YouTube hole one night a couple of years ago. I think I like heard a bunch of this guy's covers, because that also I can hear it in my head.
I'm just sad that it stopped after that. He has maybe three, four, and oh man, I would have bought.
Well,
everything.
It's interesting because you said it's from '95, which is like that's such a. They really weren't making a lot of 45s in 1995 anymore. I mean, really, like the only records I see like from the '90s at that point, it's just all stuff that was for jukeboxes. Because that's the funniest thing with like '90s 45s is that like they were. Barely selling them like at music stores, but the companies were still manufacturing them because so many bars, especially in like rural areas, still had a jukebox that played 45. So that's why it's like actually sitting in my car right now, because I picked up a box of 90s 45s the other day. It's like I have like NSYNC and Britney Spears on 45. It's like, yeah, like they existed, they still made them up until like 2001, 2002. Like, you'll find those big hits. That's why I've always said I want to start, like, a 90s night called Boner Jams, which I won't even get into.
Cancel culture.
Yeah, cancel culture. Boners! I want to start a 90s night where we only play them on 45s.
That'd be cool.
Because the thing is, like, look, it's like, obviously we love doing our 60s, our soul nights and stuff, but it's like, you could pack people in playing Smash Mouth and freaking Marcy Playground and Oasis like you wouldn't believe. or Spice Girls. People my age, you know, would freak out for that shit. Yeah.
As soon as I heard this, I immediately thought of our good friend and podcast mentor, Mr. Suave from Mr. Suave's Mod Mod World.
Okay.
I don't know. Of course he knows this. So, Mr. Suave, this one was dedicated to you. I'm sure you know it already, but yeah, made me think of you.
Yeah, that was great. I'm really glad you just featured that. That was really cool. Well, it sounds like you had a fantastic little...
The night was great. I mean...
Good road trip.
Again, shout out to Patrick McMillan. He made me the nicest compliment on an Instagram feed on a photo that I think Teresina posted. He said, "I knew about Pat and his show, and but man, this guy is a force of nature."
Yeah, I saw that.
This is the nicest compliment I've received in ages. That made me smile, I think. Because you know me enough that when I'm behind a turntable, I am a force of nature.
Yes, you're in your element, to say the least.
And after 2 years of pent up energy and
Be like really egotistical and change your DJ name from like Park Avenue or Park a Pat to DJ Force of Nature. Welcome to DJ Force of Nature. You're my wonderwall.
I pictured myself doing that at a karaoke so much.
I was gonna say, like, the music almost sounds like it's all coming out of a drum machine at times. Like, it sounds like it's someone kind of just singing at a Howard Johnson on the side of the highway. I don't know why the hell I would say Howard Johnson, the Hojo, you know, eating pancakes and listening to freaking Dick Cheese in the corner singing Wonderwall.
But even, well, it's Mike Flowers.
Yeah, I know.
Back vocals, the little... Ba, 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 ba,
ba, ba. Well, it's like they took Oasis and they made it palatable for like people like my grandparents. It sounds like Sergio Mendes, Brazil 66 or something, or Herb Albert. You know, it's like, it's that should have been in Mad Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's got that.
It's so good. And everybody on the dance floor was smiling.
Of course. And I'm smiling an idiot listening to it. I'm still smiling like an idiot. My face hurts from smiling.
So, again, thank you, DJ Nico, for having me.
She's the best.
You can have me anytime you want. The staff there were great. The owner.
It's such a cool bar, too. I've been there. It's awesome. Yeah.
Even the coat check girl after the night, she went, "Oh, I danced the whole time. Well, I was listening. You had a great set." And I go, tell DJ Nico, you want me back.
I guess after the 2 years, people were just so excited, because my one experience playing records there, like, you know, when I'm up there playing records, I get really into it. And I was trying to get the crowd going.
Yeah, you're a force of nature too.
No, come on now. But like, it's so funny. And like, my one experience there, I don't know what the crowd that night looked at me like I was like an insane person. They were like, "Who is this fool from Montreal? Get him out of here." But no, it's a great spot. DJ Nico is the best. She's been doing this for years, man. She's
And here's my second gift, a little pin.
And another drop in the bucket. Yeah, I've got so many pins. I never wear pins. I don't know, but I love having them. They're cool to shove in a drawer, and then you clean up, and you go, "Oh, yeah, With It. Oh, yeah, Ram Jam. Oh, yeah, Montreal." Yeah, these are all, you know, I'm glad I know all these people.
I came back on a cloud, on a high. Unfortunately, it was... I was brought back to down to earth with that hard week with my students. But
yeah, well, hey, look, it's the weekend coming up.
Let's finish off on a high note. We haven't featured a lot of soul.
No, it hasn't really been a soul episode, which is odd for us because we're usually right up in there with the soul stuff. Yeah.
So this is an eBay buy. You won't be surprised by this. You know this.
Okay.
It's not an expensive record, but it's oh so good.
Is it a classic?
I'll let you be the judge. All so right. let's finish with this.
Name a label and let's see.
And Ben, where can we find you?
Me. Well, check out our Instagram and Facebook, Addicted to the Needle pages, which is really Pat's the one who runs all that stuff. So Pat's kind of the one who does everything. So shout out to you, Pat.
I'm a force of nature.
He is the force of nature and the executive producer. It is Patrick Fuzzy presents Addicted to the Needle featuring Ben Shulman. I am on Instagram, Shulman the Soul Man. Whatever. If you want to contact me on Facebook and say hello, you can always send me a message. My name is Ben Shulman. And the company sleeve on Discogs. I have 11,000 45s currently available for sale. If you like old records, help me pay my mortgage.
Mention this show, you'll give you a good deal.
Oh, yeah. If you mention the show, you know, people message me all the time. They're like, is it okay if I send you offers? I'm like, of course. You don't have to ask. Like, you know, like, I love making people deals. If you want something, believe me, you know.
Insert a Jew joke here.
Canceled. You're canceled. Boo, Pat, boo. and Pat, we can find you in all kinds of fun places.
Yeah. Why don't you check out Park Avenue on Instagram? How about that?
And go read some old blog posts. You've got a back catalog of...
at parkavenue.blogspot.com.
All right.
So here's our end of the show track.
I want to hear you say you love me one more time. It's that record, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the Clovers, One More Time.
So it's more of an R&B new breed than actual soul, but hey.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great record. Kind of
a classic.
The end of the Clovers' career. They were more of a bigger thing in 55, 56. This is 63. I have this on Barry Records, the Canadian pressing, because I am a mental person. But this is an absolute classic. Love this song. Thank you everyone for listening, and Pat, I hope you're in a better mood now from when we first sat down.
I am, and you know what? Let's keep on keeping on.
And I'm just going to say one last thing. I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to get a Vladimir Poutine. Good night, everybody!